financial advisors planning for life. Wealthway Financial Advisors planning for life.
And good evening, Hampton Roads. Welcome to another edition of Dollars and Common Sense, your local source for objective, unbiased financial advice. I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Kevin Zivna, coming to you live like we do every second and fourth Tuesday of the month to dialogue with you, take your calls. If you have a question or comment relating to your personal financial situation, then this is your forum to discuss. We'd love to hear from you. All we need is your first name, city you're calling from, and no matter what I'm talking about, if it's important to you, then it's important to me. We'll get you right on air. 627-7979. Don't forget that area code. 757-627-7979. Wealthway Financial Advisors is the proud sponsor of Dollars and Common Sense. We are an independent registered investment advisor, which means we're legally held to a fiduciary standard. Put our clients' interest ahead of our own in any business dealing or recommendation that we make, and that's the way it should be when you work with a financial advisor. As the premier financial planning firm in Hampton Roads, we integrate expert investment management with customized ongoing financial planning advice to help our clients answer life's big financial questions and enhance their quality of life. So by design, we can't work with everyone. We work with a relatively small group of high net worth individuals, but that's one of the reasons we feel so strongly about coming here every second and fourth Tuesday at 6 p.m., and that's to reach out and help as many people in the Hampton Roads listening area that we can achieve your measure of financial success, because it is a core belief at Wealthway Advisors that the overwhelming majority of people in this country have the opportunity for financial security if they choose it. And it is a choice because it takes some time, it takes some effort, and it takes some knowledge. We are here to help. You got to take that first step, though. Pick up the phone, give me a call, 627-7979. Whether you want to talk about anything having to do with the investment markets, the economy, insurance products like life insurance, health insurance, property casualty, taxes, tax planning, tax reduction strategies, retirement planning, retirement plans, 401ks, 403bs, TSPs, 457s, IRAs, Roth IRAs, it goes on and on. Mortgage options or Social Security claiming strategies and estate planning, wills and trusts. All that and more falls under the umbrella of personal finance, and we are here to discuss tonight. 627-7979. All right, tonight we are going to talk about the Wealthway investment philosophy and principles. So, majority of our time spent on this show, 90 to 95%, is spent talking about financial planning and financial planning concepts. But a core competency of ours is expert investment management, and investment management is important. But the variability and unpredictability of annual market returns is a reminder that investment management is of limited value without financial planning. You know, financial planning is that next service that we think everyone needs and everyone should have that they don't know. You know, everyone kind of knows I should save and I should invest if I want to have more money sometime down the road, but I don't know how much. So everyone kind of, it's been ingrained in the American culture that saving, investing is good. But all we get out of investment management is just a rate of return. And rate of return doesn't tell us, are we saving enough? How long do we have to save for? How much is enough? How much can we spend in retirement without fear of running out of money? What about the potential costs of long-term care expenses? The last big potential expense we all face. Those are financial planning questions. And so that's why we spend the bulk of our time and attention on that here in this show, because the answers to those questions and the strategies surrounding financial planning are even more important than investment management. But investment management is important. And I'm here tonight to talk about some of the ways that we go about doing investment management for our clients. And I think you will find as the show goes along that they differ to a certain extent from conventional wisdom, as well as I guess most of what you may read in financial literature or see on TV or maybe hear from your own financial advisor. But before I jump into that, as promised, when we get a caller on the line, we're going to go speak to that caller. Right now, we're going to go out to Norfolk and speak with Eddie. Good evening, Eddie. You're on Dollars and Common Sense.
Good evening, sir.
How you doing tonight?
Yes. I'm doing great. I'm calling in reference to my Social Security. My Social Security will be fully mature at 66 and 8 months. And that's my intention, is to collect Social Security at that age and perhaps continue working for approximately another year or so. Is that a good idea?
Well, what are you trying to accomplish, Eddie?
I think I already accomplished, you know, what I wanted to accomplish, you know, and that's to, you know, be debt-free and, you know, enjoy my life, you know, do a little traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting to the age of 70 to collect my Social Security is out of the question, absolutely. I'm not one of those. And just wanted to hear your opinion.
Okay. Well, it sort of sounds like, when is the preferred time for me to take Social Security? So I'll give you some general thoughts around that, that we provide to all our clients, really. So if you are going to continue to work, then it is rarely a good idea to take Social Security early or take it before your full retirement age. And you said that you think your full retirement age is 66 years and 8 months. So while you're continuing to work, probably not the best idea to take it before 66 and 8 months. There's some, it can be taxed, there can be some reduction in the benefit. You do get it back later on, but it's kind of an administrative hassle. So we usually say, as long as you want to work, then delay Social Security at least until your full retirement age. So that's kind of your thought process right now. And once you reach full retirement age, the Social Security, quote unquote, full retirement age, for you it's 66 and 8 months, then you can continue to work and earn any amount of money, and your Social Security benefit will not be reduced. Now, it most likely will be taxed, but that's sort of a minor quibble, because you do get that additional income that comes into your house and is available to do the things that you said you wanted to do, like maybe travel and enjoy yourself and maybe do some home improvements and that type of thing. So taking Social Security at full retirement age while you continue to work, I think, can be a good strategy and sounds like it might fit for you.
Okay. Yes, I already confirmed that my fully retirement age is 66, 8 months. You know, but to be more specific, you know, I will apply for my Social Security once I'm 67, you know, and perhaps no more than a year after that, I will like to work for, you know, no more than a year.
Right. And you certainly can delay receiving your benefit past full retirement age. When you do that, then the benefit increases a little bit every month after that full retirement age. So you eventually get more money by delaying and waiting to take the benefit. And typically speaking, if you're in good health and you're making substantial income to satisfy your main wants and needs, then delaying Social Security can be more beneficial long term. But there's also value judgments to make, as more valuable in terms of doing a straight, hard, numerical financial calculation. But there can be good psychological reasons or lifestyle reasons for wanting to take Social Security before the maximum benefit age of 70, which you said you really didn't want to wait to anyway. So it sounds like that sweet spot for you might be about 67 to 68. And then enjoy that extra income.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you for taking my call, and I will enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay, Eddie, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. That's how it goes. 627-7979. All right. Probably a good time to just take our short first break here before I jump into the subject matter. But if you got a question about your financial situation or a comment about your financial situation, we'd love to hear from you. 627-7979. I'm certified financial planner Kevin Zivna. You're listening to Dollars and Common Sense on News Talk 790 WNIS.
Wealthway Financial Advisors, planning for life. Wealthway Financial Advisors, planning for life.
And welcome back to Dollars and Common Sense, your local source for objective, unbiased financial advice. I'm certified financial planner Kevin Zivna, president of Wealthway Financial Advisors, the premier financial planning firm in Hampton Roads, where we integrate expert investment management with customized ongoing financial planning advice to help our clients answer life's big financial questions and enhance their quality of life. For more information about us, check us out online at wealthwayadvisors.com. All right, tonight we're talking about the Wealthway investment philosophy and principle, investment management philosophy and principles, which I think you will find some interesting points as we go through these. So first of all, I'd like to start out with some foundational philosophies about what we are trying to do in terms of growing our clients' net worth and wealth. So, first off, the only rational long-term definition of money is purchasing power. Money is purchasing power. And so the number of units of the currency that one holds and the nominal returns one can generate from that money are at any given moment largely irrelevant. The amount of money that one holds at any given time is largely irrelevant. Why? Because the value of money is relative. So the absolute number is not that important. What is important is how much money you have relative to the current costs of goods and services. And that makes a lot of sense because we know from our youth that our favorite Snickers candy bar cost about a dime. And today, as I was walking through the grocery store and I looked over and I saw Snickers, it was $1.75. You know, so that which I once enjoyed at a dime is now $1.75. So the cost of goods and services inflate over time, and as such, the actual number of dollars we hold is less material than the volume of those dollars and what the volume of goods and services that they can produce. So the long-term goal of investing can only be the accumulation of purchasing power, the ability to purchase more goods and services in the future than we are able to today. So, you know, the traditional notion of who's rich, you know, if you got $1 million, you've made it. Well, that was certainly the case in 1900. But in 2024, $1 million, well, still nice and still comfortable, is not really enough to make you independently wealthy, most people independently wealthy. In other words, you can't just live a very high expensive lifestyle off just $1 million anymore, because the purchasing power of that $1 million has been eroded by the effects of inflation. So the purpose of investing is to grow the or to accumulate more purchasing power, not necessarily an absolute dollar amount or hit a particular dollar amount target. All right, so in the long run, how do we get there? How do we do that? How do we grow our purchasing power? All right. Typically, one of the best, easiest, most successful ways of doing that is to piggyback off of the profitability of major U.S. corporations, or major corporations, be they in the U.S. or outside of the U.S., but piggyback off the profitability of other companies. The companies who we buy goods and services from make them for a profit. That profit, the profit of the company, is valuable to the owners of that company. And you become an owner of the company by becoming a stockholder, by buying stock in Apple or IBM or Amazon or McDonald's. You too can own a company, albeit a very small fractional share, but you can be an owner of a company very simply and very easily nowadays. By opening up a brokerage account, depositing some money in it, and buying some shares of stock in Walmart or, any other major U.S. company on the U.S. stock exchange. And then you become an owner of the company. So in the long run, the owners of successful businesses, the stockholders, must make far greater returns than the people who lend their money to the businesses. Those would be bondholders. And this is simple logic, because if rational owners could not earn a significant return above their borrowing costs, they would not borrow. So what does that mean? So companies routinely float bonds, issue bonds. People buy those bonds, and by buying a bond, you're sending money back to a corporation at a certain interest rate. And the company agrees to pay you back as a bondholder a certain amount plus interest over a certain period of time. The reason they want your money to borrow is they think they have a better use of that capital than the cost of the borrowing, than the interest rate on the bond. So, and they would take that money then and invest in a project, plant, equipment, inventory, more employees to develop a new electric car or a spaceship or build a building that would be rented out or do some sort of capital intensive project that they think they can earn more money on than what the interest is costing them on the bond. And if the interest rate were too high, if bondholders wanted too high of an interest rate, well, the project just wouldn't work, it wouldn't be viable, and we're not going to do it. So long term, the way the whole system kind of works is I will borrow money from you at a lower interest rate than I think I can develop a project and earn a profit on. So the logic is amply supported by the historical record that over nearly the last century, the S&P 500 stock index, to just take one metric, compounded net of inflation, which means after inflation, has been about 7%. So after the effects of inflation, the real return on the investing, the ownership of companies, has been about 7% per year on average. And the most comparable corporate bond index, compounded at an inflation-adjusted rate, is only about 3%, again, after inflation, which inflation long-term is about 3% itself. So that's where you subtract the corrosive effects of inflation off the real return of stocks or bonds, after the nominal return, and then you get the real return. So long-term, stocks, 7% on average per year. Bonds, only 3%. Stocks return about over twice the amount of bondholders. And here we go. This is the biggie. The true test of an investment's long-term safety is its long-term total return in excess of inflation. Long-term safety is its long-term total return in excess of inflation. That excess return to the stockholders has historically been more than twice the comparable return to bondholders. And so by the standard that matters most, stocks have been significantly safer than bonds. And that is counterintuitive to, I would say, about 98% of the investment world and people who do investing. There's a perception that the lower volatility of bonds is safer than stocks, and that is not true when it comes to the long-term generating, wealth-generating effects of the higher return of stocks. All right, we're going to need to pause right here, take a short break for the news. We're going to be right back after these messages. If you want to jump in on the conversation, give me a call on the studio line, 627-7979. I'm certified financial planner Kevin Zivna. You're listening to Dollars and Common Sense on News Talk 790 WNIS. Welcome back to Dollars and Common Sense, your local source for objective, unbiased financial advice. I'm certified financial planner Kevin Zivna, the president of Wealthway Financial Advisors, the premier financial planning firm in Hampton Roads, where we integrate expert investment management with customized ongoing financial planning advice to help our clients answer life's big financial questions and enhance their quality of life. For more information about us, check us out online at wealthwayadvisors.com. Once there, you can request an information packet to find out what it's like to work with us or sign up for a free quarterly newsletter at wealthwayadvisors.com. Just go to the request a consultation page, put your name and address in the dialog boxes there, select the appropriate drop-down menu, and we'll get that information out to you later on this week. And that's all we will use your name and address for, is just to send you the information that you request. Or if you want to talk to a live human being, give us a call in the office, 456-2200. Want to remind everybody, our next show will be on Tuesday, May 14th. That's 3 weeks from today, not the normal two, just due to the way the calendar falls. So 3 weeks from today, next live show will be on Tuesday, May 14th. But if you can't catch us live every second and fourth Tuesday of the month, then get this show as a podcast. Search for Dollars and Common Sense wherever you get your podcast, download us, take us with you wherever you go, and listen at your convenience. And for those of you into social media, we have a presence on Facebook and LinkedIn. Search for Wealthway Financial Advisors on any of those platforms. Hit the like or follow button. And then usually once a week, we put up an interesting and informative financial planning post to keep you engaged in the process. All right. Tonight, we're talking about the Wealthway investment management philosophy and principles that guide us. We're going to get back to those in just a minute, but first we're going to run out to Chesapeake and speak with George. Good evening, George. You're on Dollars and Common Sense.
Hi, Karen. I am absolutely fascinated what you're doing tonight, really. And I just want to, I want to thank you. You helped me in the past what to do with my required minimum distributions from my RAs to give to a charity that's non-taxable, and you told me how to do that, and I really appreciate it. And one question, is Allison coming back?
Well, thanks for the compliments, George. I really appreciate that. Happy to help. Allison has kind of moved on to a different phase of her life and her career. She's kind of made a lifestyle choice to take a step back in a less day-to-day intensive role, but we wish her the best and we do miss her.
Yes, we do. We are definitely going to miss her. Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. You're welcome, George. Thanks a lot. All right. 627-7979 if you want to jump in on the conversation here. Talking about investment management philosophy and principles. So start off by saying that the idea of money itself is actually relative, and that the primary purpose of investing is trying to grow the relative purchasing power of your money so that you can purchase more future goods and services with it, that the primary way that we go about doing it and that is most accessible for most all of us is to invest in common stocks, equities. Large companies piggyback on their success, enjoy their profitability, become an owner of those firms by being a stockholder. And that by holding stocks long-term, they are far superior investment vehicle than bonds, even though bonds are widely used in most investment portfolios, especially as people approach retirement and as they transition into the later stages of their life. There's this idea still prevalent in our industry that I think is outdated and antiquated, that bonds should make up a big portion of people's investment portfolio later in life because they're perceived to be safer than stocks. But the true test of an investment's long-term safety is its long-term total return in excess of inflation. And stocks return more than twice as much than bonds do in excess of inflation. It allows you to buy twice as much future goods and services than bonds do. But bonds are typically somewhat less volatile than stocks. And the return of stocks has been considerably more random around its long-term uptrend line than that of bonds. Now, that just means that stocks have higher highs and lower lows, or what the technical term in the industry is volatility. Ups and downs around a trend line, short-term ups and downs around a trend line. Stocks have higher highs and then lower lows, but their trend line is higher and steeper than that of bonds. So here's some things that you have to accept if you want to be a good long-term investor and grow your wealth fastest over time. You have to put up with some downturns with stocks. That's the reality. And so what does that look like? Well, the average annual peak to trough drawdown over the last 100 years in any given year has been about 15%. So in any given calendar year, you have to accept the fact that wherever from the high point of the year of your investment portfolio, that it's probably usually at some point in that year going to be down about 15%. So that's $100,000. That's going to be about, at some point in the year, it's going to be $85,000. If it's $1 million, some point in the year, could be $850,000. And that's just on average. That's normal. That's usual. That's customary. If that scares you, if that frightens you, if you can't handle that and you're prone to maybe make a bad panic decision, sell out at a low point, then maybe you shouldn't be invested in the first place, because that's how people lose real money. Or if maybe that's not your temperament, but you can get yourself aligned with a good, competent, honest, ethical financial advisor who understands these principles, and you can delegate the investment management to that person, then they can worry about that for you. So you don't have to. If you can try to keep your eyes off the daily movements of the stock market and the investment accounts. So you got to put up with more short-term ups and downs on stocks than you do have bonds. That's true, but your reward for doing so is a higher average long-run rate of return. So there's also a couple other considerations. 15% might be the average downturn in any given year, but there's also been some whoppers, right? And we're all aware of that. So, you know, since the end of World War II, there have been three declines that have averaged 50%. 50, 5-0, decline. Your $100,000 became worth $50,000. Your $1 million became worth $500,000. That's gut-wrenching. That's knee-buckling. I understand that. But the longest time to break even, when you consider including investing dividends, was 5 years and 8 months. The longest time to break even from that 50% decline. 5 years, 8 months, almost 6 years. Now, that's the longest time it ever took. And I'll concede, 6 years is a long time to wait to get back to even. But that was the worst over that period of time. So that's not quite typical either. So these are the things we have to understand and endure in order to reward ourselves with the after inflation long run rate of return from stocks of about 7%. You have to be able to go through those downturns and not panic and not sell out. You have to wait, endure that period of time, and wait for the eventual recovery in order to enjoy the long-run rates of return. And most people, left to their own devices, do not have that temperament. Human nature is somewhat of a failed investor. Human nature says, I see my account value going down. I see my investments becoming worth less. I'm starting to worry about what this means to my future. This is painful. I'm starting to lose sleep. I don't know how to deal with it. I want to make it stop. I'm going to sell and just cash out and move all my money to the bank where I don't have to put up with this downturn. And then you lock in your losses. You've done the wrong thing at the wrong time, and you've lost real money. Remember, you don't lose the money until you sell. All you've done in a market downturn is suffered a temporary decline in value. Okay? But a temporary decline in value is not a loss until you sell out of your investments and lock in those losses. So you have to be able to endure those temporary downturns. And if you can, then the long-run rate of returns always catch up to their long-term trend. So you must accept short-term volatility in excess of the volatility that you get in bonds in order to enjoy the rate of return double that of bonds. And if you can do that, then that's how you grow your purchasing power long-term. Over time, you grow your net worth, you become wealthier, you get to take more trips, you get to go and sit in first class, you get to buy a bigger house, you get to drive a nicer car, you get to give more gifts to your family, you get to give more donations to your church, you get to give more money to your school, you get to send your kids to private college, you get to have a bigger, richer, fuller life by enduring those occasional downturns and enjoying a higher long-run rate of return made up of entirely of equities, no matter what age level you're at, no matter what stage of life you're at. We at Wealthway do not believe that bonds have any significant role in long-term investment portfolios, and we have largely reduced substantially or eliminated across our entire client base bonds as a component of our clients' portfolios. And that goes for some little old ladies who are in their 70s. They have some, most of them have 100% equity stocks portfolios because that's what will get them the best long-run rate of return. We do use bonds in some targeted cases, so it's not completely elimination. But overwhelmingly, we are far more equity heavy than the rest of the investment world would say, than the rest of the investment world is doing, because they're still stuck in antiquated notions and principles. All right, I'm going to pause right here, take a break. Got a little bit more left of the show. If you want to jump in on the conversation, 627-7979. I'm certified financial planner Kevin Zivna. You're listening to Dollars and Common Sense on News Talk 790 WNIS.
Wealthway Financial Advisors, planning for life. Wealthway Financial Advisors, planning for life.
And welcome back to Dollars and Common Sense, your local source for objective, unbiased financial advice. I'm certified financial planner Kevin Zivna, the president of Wealthway Financial Advisors, the premier financial planning firm in Hampton Roads, where we integrate expert investment management with customized ongoing financial planning advice to help our clients answer life's big financial questions and enhance their quality of life. For more information about us, you can look us up online at wealthwayadvisors.com. You can, once there, you can request an information packet to find out what it's like to work with us at wealthwayadvisors.com, or you can sign up for a free quarterly newsletter. Just go to the Request a Consultation page, put in your personal, put in your name and your address, and we will get that information out to you later on this week. And that's all we will use your name and address for, is just to send you the information that you request. Or if you want to talk to a live human being, you've got some nuanced questions, or you want to find out more about how we operate, give us a call at the office, 456-2200. I want to remind everybody, our next live show will be in 3 weeks on Tuesday, May 14th. But if you can't catch us live every second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m., get the show as a podcast. Search for Dollars and Common Sense wherever you get your podcasts. Download us, take us with you wherever you go, and then listen at your leisure. And for those of you into social media, you can search for Wealthway Financial Advisors on Facebook and LinkedIn. Hit that like or follow button, and about once a week, we put up an interesting financial planning post. All right, 627-7979 for the few minutes we have left. If you want to jump in on the conversation tonight, we're going over the Wealthway investment management philosophy and principles. We started with the idea that money is relative. It's all comparable to the current level of the current costs of goods and services, and the point of investing is trying to grow the purchasing power of money to outpace the corrosive effects of inflation of those goods and services. So the best way to do that, for most people, the easiest, cheapest, best way to do that is to piggyback off the profitability of some of the best run, best managed, most profitable companies in the world. And you do that by becoming a fractional owner of those companies by purchasing stock in those companies. And the value and by being an owner of the company as opposed to a loaner of the company, that would be a bondholder, then long term you should expect to enjoy rates of return over double the rates of return that the bondholders enjoy. And so long term, then, the true test of an investment's long-term safety is its long-term total return in excess of inflation. It's safer to own stocks long-term because they earn you more. They grow faster. They stay ahead of inflation better than bonds. That's the true test of safety. But in order to get there, in order to enjoy that, you have to accept more short-term volatility, greater price swings in the prices of stocks than you do bonds. And in fact, on average, about 15% decline in any given year. You have to get used to that. You have to get comfortable with that. Or you have to not look at your statements, you know, every month, or check your account balance every other day. Let the growth effects do its job. So if you're able to do that, then some other wraparound principles that are important when developing your investment portfolio, your investment plan, is that you have to accept the fact that the economy cannot be consistently forecast, nor can the equity market be consistently timed. So, CNBC is hazardous to your wealth, we like to say, because they want you to think the opposite. No, the economy cannot be consistently forecast, and the equity market cannot be consistently timed by anyone on this planet. So give up trying. And a lot of people like to wrap the idea of, they like to hide the idea of market timing in other fancy words like tactical allocation or sector rotation, those type of things. They're just all subtle forms of market timing. So accept the fact that economy can't be forecast, stock market can't be timed, and that the only way to be sure of capturing equities premium long-term return is to remain invested at all times and endure those occasional pullbacks throughout the course of the year and even brace yourself for the biggies up to 50% that have happened three times since World War II. But every time they have happened, the stock market has always bounced back towards its long-term trend, and that's where you get the highest long-run rates of return. So, the investment portfolio, though, must follow. It is does not lead. The investment portfolio follows a plan of action which follows the goals of the individual and what they're trying to achieve. All successful long-term investing is goal-focused and plan-driven. And investing must at all times be driven by the plan and never by current events. An investment policy that is based on a view of the economy and or the markets will fail in the long run. These are the ageless principles that endure through all economic conditions, all geopolitical events, wars, famines, all kinds of chaos, including presidential administrations, by the way. So they're ageless principles. They form the bedrock on which all investment portfolios at Wealthway are built. And I've just let you in behind the curtain on how we do what we do and why we call that expert investment management. And we build those investment portfolios either in advance or simultaneously with developing our ongoing financial planning that we do for all our clients, because that's the order that it has to flow in order to make things work. What is the client trying to accomplish? What are his or her goals? Then once you figure out the goals, then you can devise a plan, a strategy on how to get there. And then once we know that, then that determines the makeup of the investment portfolio, the asset allocation, the different categories that make up the portfolio. Goals, plan, portfolio. That's how it must be. Be back in 3 weeks, live on Tuesday, May 14th at 6 p.m. as usual. Until then, I'm Certified Financial Planner Kevin Zivna. You've been listening to Dollars and Common Sense on News Talk 790 WNIS.
Was sponsored and paid for by Wealthway Financial Advisors. We are solely responsible for its content.